Blog Talk Radio.
Because I have been there, and I have done that. I have been to the dark places on the earth. I have been to the dens of iniquity. I have been to the crack houses. I have been to the dark nights of sin and degradation. I know what it is to be on the dark side. I have been there. And I have done that. I don't need to read a book about it. I don't need to have somebody tell me a story about it. I have been there. I spent years on the other side. A note here on terrorism. Remember and never forget that the primordial, quintessential master terrorist is Satan. Satan has repeatedly told me he will have me dead and in hell forever. I don't converse with him. I merely point out to him, take it up with my mother. I will never surrender.
Welcome to Sacerdotes Radio. Usually you hear my voice when I begin a show, but if you did not recognize who that was John Carapi, or who some of you still refer to as Father John Carapi. And this is what I'm going to speak on today's show, John Carapi. What happened to him? Where in the world is John Carapi? Now, John Carapi was a well-known priest. He studied at Holy Apostles Seminary, which is also the seminary I studied at. We even had one of the same professors, a sister of the Eucharist. And John Carapi was very instrumental in the lives of many Catholics, I'm told. I heard of him after I received a free tape from a site, Catholicity, I think it was, that they sent free cassettes. And when I received a package from them, and I started listening to this tape. I listened to one from Dr. Scott Hahn, from Father Larry Richards, and of course John Carapi. And of course, in the tape he was telling his story that he was rich, he was a millionaire and whatnot, and he got into drugs and women and whatnot, and he just lost it all. And then he came about and converted into the seminary and became a priest and was ordained by St. John Paul II. And his story is very moving and whatnot, and it will have a great effect on some people more than others. And with me, it didn't really have that much effect, because this is just anecdotal. This is just a guy telling his story, just like I could tell my story from going from atheism to Catholicism. And it might inspire people, it might not inspire people. Because again, it's just my story. None of you listening to me were there in my shoes living it. So it may or may not really impact you. Anyhow, in this clip that I put here of John Karabi, he's saying that he's been there in the dark. He's been there in the evil and the sin, and he hates sin, and that he was in the crack houses. And he even says that Satan spoke to him and wants him in hell or not. Now, from a rational point of view, from an atheist point of view, back in the day with me, I would have thought this guy was crazy, that this guy was just schizophrenic, listening to voices and whatnot. That's the way I would have seen it back in the day. But today, as a Catholic, I see it differently. I see where he's coming from. I understand the point that he's trying to make, that Satan is in fact out there. He's out there tempting people. He's out there trying to make people trip up, try to fall, just like with Adam and Eve. And the reason why I put that clip was because John Karabi is mentioning that about his conversion, that he was in the bad times. He was in the bad places. He was living it. He didn't need a book to read about it because he lived evil and sin and so forth. Well, back in 2010, 2011, around there, there was a big scandal that broke out with Father Karabi. And the scandal entailed a worker, a lady, a woman, who was accusing him of having that he was having an inappropriate relationship with her. And that he was using his ministry for things that were not of the church, that were not of God. Now, Karabi came and he defended himself. He said that the accusations against him were not true. He denied it and whatnot. Eventually, he just disappeared. Nobody knows of him, nobody knew him, whatnot. Now, Matt Abbott of Renew America, who's an author there, a blogger, or whatnot, he came up with a story claiming that he has a source that told him that Karabi was coming back, in a sense, that he was returning to the church or to the order or whatnot. He was very vague about it, but he gave the impression that Karabi was returning, that he was reconciling. Now, I saw that and wrote a brief blog on it and wanted to share the news with everyone, because I'm sure a lot of people would have been happy with him, with the news, rather. And I did, and it was a very popular post. But I started to look into it, and I said, wait a minute. Why doesn't Matt Abbott put the source? Where is this information from? Because clearly the order, the S-O-L-T order, the Society of Our Lady of the Trinity, or the Holy Trinity, said that they will give their last statement, which was back in 2011, where they divulged what the investigation brought, which entailed that Karabi had inappropriate images on his phone. He was sexting with women, and that he was having a relationship with women, with prostitutes and drugs, and that he had amassed a huge fortune based on from his talks and his appearances and whatnot, his book sales, video sales, and cassette sales, CD sales, whatever it is that he was selling and whatnot. And this is what the investigation found. They found all these things there. And they said that was the end of it, that they offered Karabi to return to the order, and he refused. And at one point, he even countersued the lady who was accusing him, his accuser, saying that she broke a contract, because apparently he made her sign a contract saying that she cannot review anything and whatnot, or she had to pay $1,000 penalty for breaking that contract, which is very odd. Why would you have anybody sign such a thing? Especially a priest, a Catholic priest, a man of God. So when these things started coming out, that's when things weren't looking so good for Karabi. in the beginning when he was being accused, of course, people were like, he's just a lady just looking for money or whatnot. But as things started to develop, it didn't look good for Karabi. Especially the lawsuit that he just came out of nowhere suing her. And the news of this confidentiality agreement that if she revealed anything or whatnot, that she had to pay. So it started going downhill for him there, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others. Then he came out of nowhere and created this whole personality, the Black Sheepdog. And he appeared on YouTube and whatnot, dressed in a Harley Davidson leather jacket with a goatee, looking like Anton LaVey from the Satanist movement. And it was just not the Karabi that we all got used to. He just looked like he just lost it. Like he became overly worldly. This is a religious priest we're talking about. And he's there with a Harley Davidson jacket. Looking overly worldly, like a thug, like a biker or whatnot. And then this image of a wolf that looks more like a it was supposed to be a black sheepdog, but it looked more like a wolf. A wolf. And then the icing on the cake was this investigation, where they said they found texts, emails, images. After this, Karabi just disappeared. He just deleted everything. The website was gone. The YouTube account, the Facebook account, everything associated with him was gone, was deleted. Like he just vanished. And to me, that indicated that he was cornered. He was put against the wall. Again, the report that the order released did not go much into detail, and they never really presented the information. And I guess they did so to protect his privacy. I mean, why would you want to put images of sexting online and whatnot, where it will remain there forever? Especially a priest who did so much good, because he did do good. He was a good preacher. And with his preaching, a lot of people came to the faith. So, of course, that would have been bad to do, to reveal what the investigation revealed in full detail, showing the pictures and images and whatnot. So I could see from that point of view why the order did not go into detail. And I mention that because there's some people that believe that just because the order didn't go into full detail on what they found or show the evidence, that means they must be lying. And as a matter of fact, I was kicked out of a Facebook group because of that, because I was being objective and presenting what the evidence showed. And some people just couldn't handle it. And unfortunately, around Karabi exists this cult, which they see him like this, almost like a messianic type figure, where he's telling the truth and everybody else is just telling a lie. Now that's a topic for another show, where I talk about cults and psychology and the role of religion and so forth. But it's scary that this faction does exist out there within the church, and especially on social media. You just Google Karabi and you see all these blogs and Facebook groups, I support Karabi and Karabi is innocent and whatnot. All these different groups. And God help you if you critique Karabi or say something or bring up the scandal or what the investigation found. They will insult you and kick you out, just like what happened with my case, where this guy, this older guy named Al Sakal, who claimed to be a psychotherapist, started attacking me, calling me psychotic and whatnot. Just presented the facts. Now, I started to see there was some mental instability in this guy, the way he was presenting himself and his in denial attitude. He just did not want to accept reality. I even showed him images and things, which I'm going to get to, of Karabi, which I discovered, which is why I brought up Matt Abbott. And going back to Matt Abbott, he wrote this article claiming that he has a source and whatnot, claiming that Karabi is returning in some way and whatnot. Now, we have not seen any evidence of Kurapi's return. And, of course, scandal is not new in the church. From Judas all the way to the sex abuse scandals. We have seen all kinds of scandals within the church. So, Kurapi is not unique to that. But Abba, he did not present his source, and somebody that I know contacted him and asked for the source, and he refused to give it, which is a red flag. I mean, if a journalist doesn't want to give a source, then there's something fishy. Like what happened with the Vatican last year, where this LGBT group claimed that the Vatican invited them to meet the Pope. And they said they had a source in the Vatican that confirmed this. And the Vatican never said such a thing. The source was made up. So whenever somebody says they have a source and they don't back it up, I don't believe it. I think it's phony. I think it's just made up to try to get attention or not. Anyhow, I started to do an investigative research, if you will, on Kurapi, see what I found. And while doing so, I found out that there is what appears to be an arrest record for him in 1999, which is way before the 2011 scandal broke out, where he was arrested in California for drugs or driving under the influence, which is not good. I mean, especially for a priest. Then, as I kept looking further, I came across a LinkedIn profile that said Dr. John Kurapi. And in this profile, there's images of him. Selfies, if you will. There's one of him in what looks like a band room or a garage or something. There's bikes in the background and poaching trophies and whatnot. And another one looks like this a room or a hotel room or something. And he looks extremely aged, different from when we last saw him in the videos on YouTube. And in this LinkedIn, which is like a CV type site where people post their resume and whatnot, it has all his details, the schools he went to, his degrees, his experience, and whatnot. And everything is pretty accurate. So I presented this, and I made a post about it, and it went viral. People started visiting it because they wanted to know where Kurapi went to, where he disappeared to. Now, some people try to claim that the whole thing was fake, that the LinkedIn was fake. They claimed that the information didn't add up or whatnot. And one deacon wrote about it, Deacon Kendra. He wrote about, he's a deacon in the Diocese of Brooklyn. And he blocks on Papios and Alatea. And he claims that somebody contacted him saying that the LinkedIn profile Kurapi was fake. And I countered it by saying that look at the pictures. I mean, who else will have selfies of John Kurapi? Just like if I take selfies or you take selfies, who else other than you will have them unless you send them to somebody? Moreover, if somebody did have those photos, why would they create this profile with his information? What's the point? And recently a lady was emailing me saying that the profile was probably made to attack him or not. But there's no evidence of that. If you look at the profile, it's not insulting him. It's not calling him a pervert or whatever based on the scandal in 2011. Or trashing him. It's a genuine CV, resume type page showing his accomplishments and his skills. It's not attacking him at all. So the whole idea that this profile was made, that it's fake, and it was made to attack him, is unfounded if you look at the information. Also regarding the information being inaccurate, if you compare it with a post that Deacon Kendra posted, you compare the information that this reader sent to him, along with the information on John Kurapi's LinkedIn, the LinkedIn named after Dr. John Kurapi, you will see it is pretty much the same thing. It's the same information. There's nothing different, really different about it. The dates, the degrees, the locations, the places where he got the degrees all add up. So I really don't understand why Deacon Kendra will even bother to take this reader seriously, because if he took the time to look at both sources, Uzi is actually identical, 99% identical. Then when you had the selfies, again in the background of one of them, you see the poaching trophies. And Karapi, if you look for his name and you look for poaching, or you put those two terms, keywords together, you will see the images appear from a poaching website. And it shows John Karapi with the prey that he killed. And the website is visionquesthunts.com. And you look at the gallery from 2013, you see images of John Karapi as a hunter. Just Google John Karapi hunter and you will see images. So the trophies in the background of the selfie correlates with what he likes to do, apparently, or he did in 2013, the poaching, killing animals, which I think is disgusting and evil, and I don't think that's becoming of a priest or a Christian, killing animals just to put them on the wall. I mean, that's just disgusting. They're sacred, and I'm sure St. Francis of Assisi will be weeping over that. So there's the first clue that those pictures are genuine. First, who else will have his selfies? Second, it has the poaching trophies in the background, and there is a history that he does do these things. He does go hunting and whatnot. Then the information does relate to things that he posted in books or other places regarding his achievements and his skills. It all correlates. So it, logically speaking, this profile does belong to John Karapi. Apparently he made it. He's trying to look for a job or trying to get speaking engagements in order to make money, obviously, because his main source of income, which was the order, and his speaking on behalf of the order and evangelization and so forth within the Catholic Church as a priest in good standing, is gone. He was suspended. He cannot be called Father John Karapi anymore. He cannot present himself publicly as a priest. The only thing he could do is an emergency confession. But based on these images that I found on the LinkedIn profile, he doesn't look like he's practicing Catholicism based on that. And the reason why I say that is because usually Catholics have crucifixes on the walls, images of Mary, of saints and whatnot. On their body, they will have a medal of Our Lady of whatever, or a scapular, things that identify them, especially of the faith, devotional items. When you look at these selfies of John Karapi, we see none of that. And as a matter of fact, you could tell that he has a tattoo on his chest. Nothing religious, nothing Catholic in those images at all, which leads me to conclude that it seems like he's done with the church, with the faith, or whatnot. He just gave up based on those photos. It might not be true, but I'm just going by the evidence. That's the only thing I could do, is go by the evidence. Also, the fact that nobody has mentioned that they saw him at Mass somewhere. If he was practicing the faith, going to Mass, participating in the parish, people will see him and they will recognize him. They say, "Hey, I saw John Karapi in my parish." But to date, to my knowledge, nobody has done that. Nobody has seen him in any parish in Montana, California, Texas, anywhere. He's not present at all. So I think it's safe to say that it seems that he's done with the church. He left the church, the faith. Whether he's practicing it internally, probably he's praying, why not? I don't know, perhaps. I seriously do not think he became an atheist or anything, but based on what happened, he probably did disconnect himself from the faith. But again, I'm just basing it on this evidence. So, Deacon Kendra and all these other people out there who are in denial and feel that the profile is fake, they really do not have any argument. And then when you look at some people who actually commended him for the speaking that he's apparently doing right now, the speaking and writing, they're congratulating him, commending him, recommending him for a gig as a speaker based on their experience with him. So it's clear that people are endorsing him. He's actively speaking somewhere, probably using a pseudonym so that people cannot find him or whatnot. But The whole idea that this profile is fake really doesn't hold water, because what's the point? First, how did the person get his selfies? Two, why would they create a profile with his information so he could get hired or get endorsed by somebody? If somebody who's looking to hire him as a speaker is going to contact that profile and expect to have the person on the profile contact the person back, it doesn't make any sense. So the logical conclusion is that this profile is legitimate. It is legit. It is real. And Karapi doesn't look like he's returning to the church or to the order or not. And then when you add the fact that Matt Albert refuses to reveal his source, I think the whole story of him returning back is unfounded. And it seems to have been made in order to get readers for the Renew America site. And again, I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm just saying based on evidence, based on what is present. Because if Albert was serious about John Karapi returning, because a lot of people like John Karapi, then what's the point of hiding the source that claims he's returning? What's the point? If it's about privacy, then it backfired because it led me to do research and other people, and I eventually found his LinkedIn profile. So if he's hiding the source because of privacy, it backfired because it just got me more curious to see whether it's true or not. And so far, the indications show that it is not true, that John Karapi is not returning, and apparently he did surrender. Apparently he did let Satan win. And if that is the case, that is unfortunate. But we are in the year of mercy, so we have to be merciful. And my advice to everyone is to pray for him. Pray for all priests. Priests have a heart. They get attacked by Satan all the time. And they're human beings. They fall, they sin. So apparently John Karapi, some people have told me that he was very arrogant, and that one time somebody asked him if they could make a copy of his tape to give it to somebody else. And apparently, allegedly, according to the person who told me this, Karapi got upset and said that that stealing, that the friend or cousin, whoever, wants, has to buy his own copy. So, I mean, if these stories are true, then, I mean, there's obviously something that was going on there. Perhaps he was using the church to make money, to benefit his bottom line, or recoup his fortune that he lost. Perhaps he was tempted. He saw this as an opportunity to become wealthy again. And his order didn't monitor him, so it gave him free rein to do whatever. But whatever the case may be, we still had to pray for him. He's Catholic. You cannot erase that. You cannot erase the sacraments. He's still a priest. Yes, he's in bad standing, of course, but he still is a priest in the sacramental sense. He's prohibited from celebrating the sacraments, but he still is a priest. So we have to pray for him. We have to hopefully one day pray for him. And I'm going to continue investigating this, and hopefully if I can, if I find something solid, continue to post it. And it would be nice if I could invite him to Sacerdotes Radio to speak and give his side of the story. And hopefully not face prejudice or judgment. But again, based on the evidence, to me it seems like he did fall. He did make mistakes. He did sin. And he got cornered and he just disappeared. And again, I'm basing that on the evidence. And on the behavior that he took upon after the hard evidence was presented as to why he was being investigated and everything happened. So let's continue to pray for John Karapi. And clearly he is out there, and he pretty much let Satan win. He surrendered. So we should pray to see Michael to go and get him back, hopefully one day. Thank you for listening. God bless, and Mary keep.